In our reading for tonight, Christians, we see the last great vision of the book of Revelation. And in the first part of this chapter, John saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared like a bride for her husband. And now in our reading, he sees a vision of the city in all of her glory. He sees a vision of what it will mean to be in heaven with God. Everything that he sees here is not a literal description, of course. This is all symbolic. And maybe the best way to understand it is that it is a picture of the glory that waits for those who trust in God. And so the angel in the first part of the reading says that the new Jerusalem which John sees is the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And that's a detail that we shouldn't overlook, Christians. It's extremely important. What John sees here is not just a city. It's not like he's describing what our future house is going to look like when we live in heaven. But rather, what we see here is a picture of the church in eternity. It is a picture of what it will be like to be with God. It is a picture that shows us what we will be. And so John is set on top of a great high mountain where he can look over the vision of the city. And this detail points us back towards the Old Testament, specifically the prophet Ezekiel. Because in the last part of his book, he also saw a vision of a new temple, a vision of a new city, a vision of a restored land for the people of God. In fact, we hear Ezekiel chapter 40. In visions of God, he brought me to the land of Israel and set me down on a very high mountain on which was a structure like a city to the south. So this vision that Ezekiel saw was meant to give Israel hope. It was meant to show them that God was still with them. It was meant to show them that God would lift them up again. And when they heard this, what Ezekiel was talking about, when they saw this vision, it would draw them ever closer to God, leading them to walk after him by faith so that they could deal with even the most difficult times. And the vision here in Revelation does the same thing for us. It should lead us ever closer to the Lord. And John says that as he sees the city coming down, it's shining like a gemstone, shining specifically like jasper, clear as crystal. And this detail that it looks like jasper, clear as crystal, actually tells us two things. And the first thing is John is really struggling to describe what he sees. Because jasper, of course, is a real gemstone. It comes in a lot of different colors, mostly red. But it's never clear here on earth. There's no such thing as clear jasper here in this creation. But that doesn't mean that John was somehow wrong to describe the city in this way. Really, he's just trying to describe something that can't really be described. And so he uses this picture of something that doesn't even exist on earth to show how that glory is far greater than anything in this earth. Heaven is not just earth, only a little bit better. Heaven is something far beyond even our wildest imaginations. It's something that we can't even begin to describe. And the second thing that this detail shows us is that the glory of God is described in the same way. Earlier in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 4, we hear this: "And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian." So in other words, the new Jerusalem shines with the same glory of God. She looks like him. She is like him. She shares in his glory. She shares in his reign. And we will see him as he is, Christians, because we will be like him. We will be perfect in every way, conformed to the image of his Son. And knowing that we're going to see God face to face, and knowing that we will be like him in all things, should bring us joy and comfort, even in the most difficult times. John says that around the city of New Jerusalem is a wall. Well, of course, this isn't a surprise. Every major city in those days had a wall. I mean, it was the only way that they could control who went in and out of the city. But this wall around the city has 12 gates, three on each side. And Revelation tells us that these gates are symbols of the tribes of Israel. And we see this also because back in Ezekiel, the new city that he sees also has 12 gates. Ezekiel chapter 48 says, "These shall be the exits of the city. On the north side, which is to be 4,500 cubits by measure, three gates, the gate of Reuben, the gate of Judah, and the gate of Levi, the gates of the city being named after the tribes of Israel." And Ezekiel goes on to show that the other nine gates are named in the same way. Each gate is a symbol of a tribe of God's people. So these gates in the wall then are a symbol of the Old Testament saints, of the church before the coming of Christ. But this wall has 12 foundations, we are told. And on each one of those foundations is written a name of the 12 apostles, a symbol of the New Testament church. So this wall then shows us that it's the whole church joined together into one. And that the city, the New Jerusalem, is not just for the Old Testament saints, nor is it just for the New Testament saints. But they are all joined together as one in the Lord forever. All those who trust in Jesus Christ by faith will enter there and find the glory that waits for them. And this angel, we are told, takes a measuring rod of gold, and he prepares to measure the city. We've seen this sort of thing in Revelation before, all the way back when they were measuring the earthly temple. Measuring like this shows the care and the concern of God. He cares about it so much, and he loves it so much, that he wants to know everything about it. And we see how much this city means to him. But the angel tells us that the New Jerusalem is a giant square, 12,000 stadia on one side. A stade is an ancient measurement of distance, roughly 607 feet. So 12,000 stadia would be more than 7 million feet long. In other words, just under 1,380 miles. That's roughly the distance from here to San Antonio, Texas. And that's just one side of the city. This place is absolutely huge. But this giant distance tells us two things, Christians. First of all, 12,000 stadia was roughly the size of ancient Israel, from the top of the land to the bottom. So in other words, this is a picture of the whole promised land. The New Jerusalem is the true promised land that God's people had always been looking towards. But 12,000 is also a symbol. 12, of course, is a number of the church, which we've heard many times already. And 1,000, as we've heard many times before, is a number of everything. So 12,000 means the entire church. In fact, the wall itself is 144 cubits tall, 12 times 12. Everything about this tells us that this is the church of God. But I don't want you to miss an important detail here, Christians. John tells us that this city city's width, its length, and its height are all the same. That means the city of Jerusalem, of New Jerusalem, is a perfect cube. And if we were to take this as a literal picture, as a literal city coming down out of heaven, that means the top of the city would extend far out into space. I mean, outer space begins 62 miles up, and this would go far beyond that. So this is not meant to be a literal number. But why then is it described as a cube? Why is that so significant? Because of another cube that comes in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies within the temple. When Solomon built the temple, we are told, 1 Kings chapter 6, the inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high, and he overlaid it with pure gold. And the Holy of Holies, of course, was the place where they put the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was the place that God had promised to be. So in other words, this cube within the temple was God's space. To go into that cube meant that you were coming into the presence of God. But that earthly Holy of Holies was a place that only the high priest could enter, and that only once a year. Most of the people of God could not go in because of their sins. To come into the presence of God would mean their death. But the true Holy of Holies has now come. God is with his people. They are no longer separated. There's no longer anything in between. They are living in the full presence of God, seeing him face to face in all of his beauty and glory forever. And in fact, John tells us something of the beauty of the city with all of these gemstones that he mentions. We shouldn't get hung up on the particular gemstones. Each individual one is not really the point. But the 12 of them together point back again to the Old Testament. Because the high priest, as part of his vestments, as part of what he wore when he went into the tabernacle, was a breastplate made out of cloth, fairly small, that was in the middle of his chest. And on this breastplate were sewn the 12 gemstones. We are told in Exodus chapter 28, there shall be 12 stones with their names according to the names of the sons of Israel. They shall be like signets, each engraved with its name for the 12 tribes. So again, these 12 gemstones point us back again to the church. This is a picture of the church of God. But it also says something about what it's like to be in God's presence, Christians. It also says something about the beauty of God's glory. To be with the Lord will be like living in a city with gemstone foundations, whose gates are made of pearl and whose streets are made of gold. Nothing on earth can even come close to the beauty of the New Jerusalem. Nothing on earth can even come close to the joy that will be ours when we are with God forever. Because in that city, Christians, there is no temple. God is the temple, and he will live in us, and we will live in him. In that city, Christians, there is no sun or moon, because the Lord God is its light, and we will walk in him forever in peace and joy. And in that city, Christians, its gates are never shut, because there is no night there, and there is nothing that is evil in that city. There's no need to lock up at night. And those who walk by faith, whose names are written in the book of life, will enter in there to be with God forever. John tells us that through the city flows the river of the water of life, a river which comes out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And we know from other parts in Scripture that this is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself says, John 7, "Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit. So this picture then of the throne of God and the Lamb with the river of the water of life coming out from it is a picture of God himself, a God who is living among his people, God who is giving them eternal life. And God is bringing them back to the Garden of Eden to make them something, make them as they were always supposed to be, and even something more. Because the tree of life is in the city, Christians. And we will find life in him. The sin of Adam will be no more. And the curse that came because of his sin will be gone forever. And we will enter in that day to worship God in all of his glory. In that day, we will stand around the throne with all of the angels. In that day, we will sing praises to him forever. And he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. This is what waits for you, Christians. This is the glory that will be yours. The glory of being with God. The glory of seeing him face to face. The glory of being one with him forever. So run the race that has been set before you. Do not waver. Do not grow weary. Fight the good fight with all your might. And God will give to you a crown which will never fade away. Let us pray. Lord God, the Almighty, our true and everlasting home, lead us in the way that you would have us go, so that we may enter into the true Jerusalem above to be with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.